One of the things in our English language is just so challenging. We have a lot of words. No wonder people have a hard time learning English. We have so many words that are pronounced the same, spelled different, or spelled the same and pronounced different, have different meanings, and love is one of those words. Most of the New Testament was written in Greek. So when we look at the English translations of love, we miss the whole purpose of that scripture. The kind of love that God was talking about is agape love, unconditional love, that you can get that love without doing anything for it. It's just a special gift. And then there's another word for love in the Greek, which is eros. And that's mostly the love between a man and a woman, a very special love. But when we talk about love in general, we miss that. Oh, I love the Seminoles, or I love this, or I love that. If you take and look at the kind of love in the Bible that reflects into the Greek, you'll know that agape love is unconditional love. And then eros love is the love between a man and a woman. And then there's philia love, where we get the city of Philadelphia from. They call it the city of brotherly love because of that. It's the love like friendships. It's a love between people that we understand and respect. And it's also a kind of a love that lets us reflect on really what we're about, and that's to share the love of God with one another. That's brotherly and sisterly love. And then there's another one there called storge, and it means love and affection, especially between parents and children. It's a kind of love that is really special because it's a love of respect and honor between parents and children and also with the rest of the family. So when you think about love, when you're reading love in the Bible, try to remember and look how that word love is translated to better understand what it really means. Wednesday's coming up, Ash Wednesday. Coming up then, the beginning of Lent. Lent is 40 days minus Sundays. So Ash Wednesday is the beginning of that, and what it does, then it leads up to Resurrection Sunday. Some people call it Easter. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday because it is a Sunday that Christ was raised from the dead. Now, I know most of you know the story. You probably heard it 100 times, even though I can't find it in the Bible. I know it's in there. In the 20th chapter of John, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene as she was standing outside that empty tomb, and she was crying. She just looked up and seen two white robe angels where the body of Jesus was laying for burial before. Then she glanced over her shoulder, seeing a person and not recognizing it was Jesus. And she said, "Who are you?" He said to her, "Who are you looking for?" Mary said, "If you," she was talking to him, "took him away, then you need to tell me where you'd taken him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary, it is I. Your teacher is alive." That's the power of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. And we have eternal hope because of it. What are you looking for? You know, one thing that Jesus did when he was here, he taught with questions, and he answered, and he also, when he would teach with questions, he'd ask questions, and it would go back and forth. It's a special way of teaching, even today. It reminded me of a fishing story. I love fishing stories, you know, because you can catch a fish this big, and it turns out to be that big. But a father and son went fishing, and they were out in the fishing boat having a good time, and the boy became curious. He said, "Dad," he says, "I was wondering, how does this boat float?" Dad thought for a moment. He said, "You know, I don't rightly know, son." Then he went back to fishing. After a while, the boy said, "Well, how can the fish breathe underwater?" "Well, I don't really know, son." And they went back to fishing again. After a while, he said, "Dad, look at that beautiful blue sky. How did that happen?" Dad thought for a minute. He says, "You know, I really don't know." And the little boy said, "I think that you might be concerned that I'm asking so many questions. Am I bothering you by asking all them questions? Oh, no, of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything. Think about that. So the question I want to share with you today, who does God love? What is real love? For him to do what he did for us. There's a song that I dearly love that's called, "Who Am I That a King Would Die for Me?" Think about that. Who are you that a king would die for you? Some years back when the Passion of Christ movie came out, very graphic if you remember it or if you've seen it, and it didn't have English words to it. It was produced and all the words were in Latin. But the visual effect of that movie made me think about how blessed we are that Jesus did what he did for us. And then what he did after that when he was crucified in such a way and he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the dead, that gave us hope. That gave us knowing that the bondage that was under us, his sin and death, is gone. He showed us that. His only son coming in human form. God Almighty, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For years, even before Christ came, God was trying to tell the people that he created, his children, how he loved them. He spoke to them through the prophets and through the written word on scrolls, yet the people didn't understand. I guess they didn't think to ask enough of questions to learn about God's love. So what does "I love you" mean to you when somebody says to you, "I love you"? Do you give those words meaning? You know, it's like telling a child when they're growing up that the stove is hot. And you can tell them the stove is hot. And don't touch it. Most kids, like myself, walk over and, "Oh, yeah, that's hot." Well, you can tell them, but they don't pay much attention to you. But sooner or later in life, they will experience what hot is. And then they'll know to be more cautious. God spoke, John 3:16. I know it's in there, I just can't find it. I don't know why I can't find it. But for who and what was that scripture for? And what does it really mean? Until we can go to the cross ourselves and know how personal that love has for us, we will never understand it. Fortunately, we don't have to go to the cross because Christ went to the cross and paid the price for our sins. It is only when we repent of our sin and turn our sin over to Jesus and accept his grace and love and forgiveness because of the cross can we really know that God's love for us is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks. The always been a but, though. Everything that we do, there's always a but. That same love, true from God, has a but. And we most likely will tell him all day long that we love him without some action on our part to show him how much we love him and how much we understand his grace. And then share that truth with others. In our world, teachers give tests. You give a test to be mean when you give a test? You don't do it to be mean? I always thought you always did. I remember, especially my English teacher. She used to give me a D so I could play football. But I always thought she was mean when she gave me a test and, say, diagram this sentence. I had no clue what she was talking about. And I still don't today. That's why if you ever get a note from me, there's no punctuation marks in it. There's no. I write in capital letters and it's just one big long paragraph. And one big long sentence. Well, I talk too much to have one sentence. It has to be. But anyhow. But think about this in an earthly way. If we love Christ, will we think about him all the time? It's the character of someone who is deep in love of the object and affection that the person is constantly on our mind. People in love with one another, they awake hoping to see that person during the day. They sleep dreaming about who they love. And they also think of the likes and the dislikes of the person that they love. This is also true of a Christian who is genuinely in love with Jesus. When Governor Bush was governor of Florida, this has been some years back now, him and the legislature got together and they were honoring marriage, and they had passed a law that if you would take marriage counseling before you got married, you'd get a discount on your marriage license. That's still in effect today. And we as clergy all got together in Tallahassee, and we made a covenant with one another and also with the people that want to get married, that we would not marry somebody without doing some premarital counseling. Now, it's not telling them how to run their life or to do anything, but it's talking and looking back at the vows that they take and understanding and giving a little bit of life experiences from other people who had marriages that struggled during their life but managed to keep their marriage together. And it's just a wonderful way to share with folks that are getting married. It's the same way if we take a vow or we take a situation to demonstrate our love for Christ. Do you really love Jesus? Do you think about him daily like you would with somebody that you love personally? You see, if we love Christ, we'll gladly hear about him. It's the character of someone in love who wants to hear everything about the person that they love. That same is true with a Christian love who loves Christ. My time when I was in seminary and Judy and I were dating and we got engaged, I couldn't wait to get out of class to call her on the phone and talk to her. In them days, you didn't have all you could use cell phone minutes. We didn't even have cell phones, but my phone bill usually run $200-$300 a month in them years because I wanted to do anything that I could do to hear her and talk to her. And people who truly love Jesus want to hear about him also. They want to talk to him. They want to love him. And every time his name is brought up, emotions will be longing for him. It's just like whenever the spouse or the person you love, their name is brought up, you have a special, ooh. And I know when I hear someone use Jesus' name in vain, it breaks my heart. So what does hearing about Jesus do to you? Think about that. Do you want to hear more? Do you want people who you talk with about him? Do you hurt when somebody slanders his name? It's the same with somebody that you love. If somebody slanders your spouse, it hurts. And when somebody slanders the name of Jesus, it hurts. If we love Christ, we will be glad to read about him. It's Valentine's Day. Think about all the letters and the emails that you might have received from somebody that you love or the somebody that loves you. Doesn't it bless you for recognize and understand somebody took time to put that love in the words just for you? People keep those love letters a lot. They put them in a little box and they keep them forever. And go back and read them sometimes over and over. Think about this, even though I can't find it. This is God's love letter to us. From Genesis to Revelation, God, through the Holy Spirit, penned that love letter for us. So, just like we get love letters from a person that we love, we go back and read them sometimes just to give us that, ooh, they really do love me. It's the same with God's Word. We want to read it over and over again. Our question is this. This is a test. Do you read God's love letter to you? Do you enjoy reading about Jesus? Because Jesus is revealed from Genesis to Revelation. He's concealed in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New, but he is there. He's the one that Jacob was wrestling with in the middle of the night. Jesus said that he was here before the foundations of the earth. Do you read and reread his word? Do you want to learn more about his love for you? Or you just take the Bible and go through it and out of obligation just peek in it once in a while? Or do you slowly and truly learn what God has to say to you? So if we love Christ, we will truly want to be with him. It's the characteristics of somebody in love that wants to be with the person that they love. Time is made in the presence of that person to be loved. Busy schedule is always rearranged to be with that person that you love. We fit in time for that. Things that used to be more important take a back seat to the one that you love. The person in love wants to be wherever you are. People in love also with Jesus want to find themselves doing the same thing and find the excitement and the feeling of God's love through Christ. Do you spend more time with him than with other things or people in your life? Sleeping? Going to sporting events? Eating? Watching television? Watching Fox News? Watching the business channel? Watching the stock market? I'm guilty. God has been dealing with me about that all week, especially now with that big market collapse. Do I spend enough of time with God? Do I listen to him? Or do I get so caught up in the world? Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world. But since we are here, we got to deal with worldly things. Jesus also said that in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations. But fear not, for I've overcome the world. So do we focus on the events in this life, or are we reflect and trust God and know that there's something much better ahead for us? You've heard me say it many times. I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we have eternal life. So what does the answer to these questions, this little short test about your love relationship with Jesus? Is it true love, or is it just superficial? It's a tough test. Ain't no doubt about that. But if we love Christ, we want to tell others about him. It's a characteristic of people who are constantly talking about the one that they love. Their loved one's name always pops up in conversations. People in love can't wait to tell others about the person that they're in love with. People want to share those conversations with the loving things that they experienced with their loved one. There's no hiding how they feel. Did you ever see someone who loves and wants the world to know it so much that they go and they put it up on the billboards, or they'll take it placards at games and so forth, and the television cameras will focus on it, and will you marry me? And I mean, it's really cool. They aren't ashamed to tell the world that they're in love. I don't know about you, but when I see things like that, it touches my heart, and I am sure most of the people that see it, it touches their heart also. And people who love Jesus are not ashamed to let others know of their love for him. That's one of the things we focused at yesterday on that fresh expressions thing, is being able to not jam it down their throat, just letting people can see in your life and to know if they ask you, why are you so different? I watch you handle situations and things and, you know, boom. It's because of the peace that passes all understanding. What a test. And my prayer is that all of us has passed. It's perfectly natural for people who love Jesus to find his name popping up in conversations, talking about Jesus, telling them that we love Jesus and we respect Jesus and we're glad that we are called by his name. It's a pleasing to our heart for others to know that we love him. I think in spite of all the controversy and all the positive things that came about with that film, The Passion of Christ, if it had done nothing else, it had people talking about Jesus for months and months and months. John 3:16 and 17 has a better understanding. For God so loved you and me that he gave his son according to God's will to give his life for you and for me, not condemning us as sinners, but converting us into his perfect love. Nicodemus said, what do you mean, Lord? I got to be born again. What's that mean? Well, he soon found out, as we did and will, that being born again is a spiritual sense of the hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ, breaking that bondage over sin and death. For God so loved us that we could love God. Resurrection Sunday coming up in 40 days plus is a perfect time for all of mankind to reflect on Jesus and our love for him. Especially important for us to check out, do a love test with him. This little test might give you an understanding better of how love is and what love means, agape love. And then continue to show your love, not only for Christ, but to other folks that you're around. Because God surely does like Phil and Patsy and Pat and Donnie and Ann and you and me. He just loves all of us. And that's exactly what God did for us. Sin had put the kiboshes to death. Now we're all going to enter into physical death unless the Lord comes for us first. And I think we could be the generation to see that. But if not, we're all going to experience physical death. But we won't die. We will go from life to life if we hang on to that hope, that sacrificial gift. The most popular verse in the Bible,